Hey, you're tuned in to the Verve Podcast live from the heart of Las Vegas, Nevada. Thanks for listening, and viva la Verve!
Well, we did not expect to be here. I didn't expect to be here in my house. Actually, we started Verve 10 years ago in my house, and here I am again. And we didn't expect to be here. It feels like the world has gone crazy. The coronavirus is spreading. Our city has been shut down. Schools are closed. Sporting events and conventions and concerts all canceled. Lots of people losing their jobs. You know, one question people are asking is, why? Like, why is this happening? And why is God letting this happen? And the best answer I have for that is, I don't know. I don't really know. I mean, there are good answers for why God allows bad things to happen. In fact, last week, the teaching in our online service answered that exact question. But even still, I don't know. Now, there is something I do know. It's kind of a warning, and I want to share it with you. It may surprise you, but first, I want to share with you some actual warning labels. These are actual warning labels on actual products that you could buy at an actual store. On a Sears hair dryer, do not use while sleeping. Really? On many brands of Christmas lights, there's a label that says, for indoor or outdoor use only. Only? What kind of other use is there? On a bar of Dial soap, it says directions, use like regular soap. Gotcha. On some Swanson frozen dinners, the label said serving suggestion, defrost. Otherwise, your Salisbury steak here. I don't know. On a package on a Rowenta iron, do not iron clothes on body. On a bottle of Boots children's cough medicine, do not drive car or operate machinery after taking this medication. If we could just get those five-year-olds with bad coughs to stop operating forklifts. On a Japanese food processor, it says not to be used for the other use. What's the other use? What's the other use? And on a children's Superman costume, wearing of this garment does not enable you to fly. Are you sure? Are you sure? Here's one last warning, but this one is not a product you can buy in a store. It's from the Bible, spoken by Jesus. You ready? John 16:33. Jesus said, in this world, you will have trouble. You know, people ask, why is God letting this happen? And I don't know, but I do know that he warned us it would. In this world, you will have trouble. And so the presence of trouble shouldn't make us question God. He said there'd be trouble. I don't know exactly why God lets something like this happen, but I do know that God has a way for us to live through this. And that's what I want us to think about today. Hopefully even like grab onto. Now, I am not pretending to be an expert on the coronavirus. I know what you know. I don't know what this is. I don't know where this is going. I don't know what's going to happen next with this, but I do know God has a way for us to live through this. First, God would have us live selfless, not selfish. There is such a temptation to be selfish in all of us, right? We've seen it in grocery stores this week. Everyone's out there buying cases of water and toilet paper and meat. I've gone to the store like five times and there's never any water or toilet paper or meat. People are hoarding and there's always a temptation for us to be selfish. Did you hear about the guy in Tennessee who bought 18,000 bottles of hand sanitizer? He was selling them individually on Amazon for $8 to $70 each. An investigation was held because price gouging is illegal, and he had to give the 17,700 bottles he had left to charity. We probably wouldn't do that, but there's always a temptation to be selfish. I'll be honest with you. So I am not nervous about the coronavirus. I mean, I am very concerned for other people who might get it, especially those who are more vulnerable, the elderly, people with immunity issues. I'm also very concerned for people who are being hit financially, but I'm not personally nervous for myself or my family. But I've had this thing this week where I keep getting pulled to get more groceries. We have enough, but I will keep wanting to go back to the store and get more. It's like there are people who have almost nothing and I want more. Why is that? Well, I think I figured it out. I think when I was a kid, my dad would fly to Las Vegas. He was a professional gambler, poker player. And so he'd go to Las Vegas and he'd leave my mom and sister and I, we lived on the East Coast, and he'd give my mom like 50 bucks and say he'd be back in a couple days. But sometimes he'd be gone for weeks and we would run out of money and then we would run out of food and it could get bad. And I think it's like there's flashbacks for me this week. There's all kinds of reasons that there's always a temptation for all of us to be selfish. But that is not who we are. If you're a follower of Jesus, you follow Jesus. Jesus said, like in Matthew 20, verse 28, that he did not come to be served, but to serve. He's saying he came to live selfless, not selfish. And we're told that that's the way followers of Jesus live. Like in Philippians chapter 2, verses 3 and 4 in the Bible, it says, don't be selfish. Don't try to impress others. Be humble, thinking of others as better than yourselves. Each of you should be concerned not only about your own interests, but about the interests of others as well. That's how followers of Jesus are committed to live. And it's also the best way to live for people who are not yet followers of Jesus. I mean, maybe you're not there yet faith-wise. I get that. But I would still encourage you to live selfless, not selfish. It's been proven in study after study that the happiest, most fulfilled people are those who live humbly, serve others, practice generosity. So, what might it look like for us to live selfless, not selfish, especially right now? Couple ideas. You can love your neighbor. Jesus said in Mark chapter 12, verse 31, love your neighbor as you love yourself. But right now, we have an amazing opportunity to love our neighbors. So why don't you check in with them? Make sure they're doing okay, if they need anything. I saw my neighbor the other day and I said, hey, are you guys okay? Do you need anything? He said, yeah, we're okay. I said, you don't need anything? He said, well, and what I was hoping is that he was gonna say toilet paper, because we have toilet paper. I was gonna run in and get him some toilet paper. He said, well, I need zinc for my heart. I'm like, I don't got no zinc, bruh. I got toilet paper. You were supposed to say toilet paper. Love your neighbor. Maybe you're on nextdoor.com or you could get on it and you could just ask people who live in your neighborhood, is there any way I could serve you? You could invite neighbors to watch Verve online. It might encourage them. Love your neighbor. What would it look like for us to live selfless, not selfish? You might think, well, there's nothing I can do. You can pray. Prayer, man, prayer works. Prayer is powerful. So you could pray. You could ask people, what can I be praying for you? Another way you can live selfish is you can give. Jesus said in Acts chapter 20, verse 35, it is more blessed to give than to receive. We live selfless lives by giving money away instead of spending it all on ourselves. Now, listen, I know that there are a lot of people out of work and out of income, and I am so, so sorry. And I realize this may be a time when you don't have anything to give. Or you might be watching this, but not be a follower of Jesus. If so, you have not agreed to live the way Jesus has for us to live. But for the rest of us who still have incomes, when we said yes to following Jesus, we said yes to living a generous life. But just like with everything else, there's always a temptation to be selfish, to stop giving, to keep our money for ourselves. But that is not who we are. We need to be concerned, not just about ourselves, but about others as well. So I want to encourage you to keep giving. If you don't yet have a habit of giving, maybe this is the perfect time to start, to break that selfishness that's in all of us. And the reality is, when a city shuts down, the church doesn't. In fact, a crisis like this tends to create more need, more ministry, more for the church to do. And so not only is giving who we are for the Verve fam, it's also who we need to be. So I just want to encourage you to keep giving, or maybe to start giving. And if you want to do that, you can give online today on the homepage of our website, vivaleverve.org, and on the Verve app, there's a donate button. There's an easy way that you could give a one-time gift, or you could even set up a recurring gift to build a habit of generosity in your life. Now, I realize that what might stop us from giving is fear. And that brings us to the second way God wants us to live through this. He wants us to live selfless, not selfish. And second, God would have us live by faith, not fear. The night before he was crucified, Jesus' friends knew that bad things were happening. And here's what Jesus said to them in that moment. John chapter 14, verse 1, he said, "Do not let your hearts be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me." And then he said in verse 27, doorbell. That's what happens when you do church at home. We're just going to keep going. Somebody's at the door. We will ignore that. Verse 27, he said, "I am leaving you with a gift, peace of mind and heart. And the peace I give is a gift the world cannot give. So don't be troubled or afraid." Jesus said that to his friends because bad things were happening. And right now we have bad things happening. Jesus would say to us in this moment, hey, don't let your heart be troubled. You believe in God. That means that you are not alone, and it means you're not in charge. It means you're not just a victim of what's happening in the world. You believe in God. He is bigger than this, and you can trust him. And so you can have real peace, a peace that is so real, so tangible, so powerful that you can't understand or explain it. You have a choice in this moment. Don't be afraid. Trust God. Choose faith. Do you know that the most repeated command in the Bible is do not fear? You might think it'd be one of the Ten Commandments. Nope. You might think it'd be love God or love people. Nope. Jesus did say that those are the two greatest, most important commandments. God wants us to live lives of love, but it's not the most repeated. The most repeated command is do not fear. Why is that the most repeated? I think it's because God knew we'd be afraid, right? He loves you. He knew, and he wanted you to know that you can live above fear, that you could live by faith, not fear. So I wonder, what would it look like for you in these circumstances to trust God? What would it look like in lockdown, financially hit, you don't know what's coming next, for you to receive the gift of peace that Jesus is offering you? What would it look like in the midst of the corona crisis for you to choose faith over fear? I want you to know, God wants you to know, that you can do that. You can do that. You can actually live this way. Faith over fear. With God's help, you can live that way. What would it look like? There's a passage in the Bible that I think describes it well. 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verses 7 through 9. We now have this light shining in our hearts, but we ourselves are like fragile clay jars containing this great treasure. This makes it clear that our great power is from God, not from ourselves. We are pressed on every side by troubles, but we are not crushed. We are perplexed, but not driven to despair. We are hunted down, but never abandoned by God. We get knocked down, but we are not destroyed. And I love that. It's so true. It's so who we are. We are fragile. We are frail. And so we can't do this in our own strength. Our great power is from God. We are pressed in by troubles, but we are not crushed. We are not given to despair, and we are not destroyed because we are never abandoned by God. He is with us. And so who we are is we choose faith over fear. That's who we are. And let's pray for that right now. Let's pray together. God, these are crazy, chaotic times. And none of us saw this coming. There was no warning label for this. But you did tell us to expect trouble. And we're in the middle of it. Just like Jesus and his disciples, his friends were the night before he was crucified. And Jesus looked them in the eyes and said, "Don't be troubled. Don't be afraid. You believe in God. God, we believe in you." Maybe there's someone watching this online right now and they're not sure if they believe in you, but you are inviting them into this life of faith, into this life of following Jesus. We believe in you, God. And so we are pushed in by troubles. We are perplexed, but we are not given to despair. We are not destroyed. We do not give up. We choose faith over fear. Maybe we can't do that in our own power, but we have great power, and our great power comes from you, God. And so as individuals, as a church family, as a city, God, we choose to live selfless, not selfish, and we choose faith over fear. And we make this decision, we choose this in the name of Jesus. Amen.